I love that. I think we could have an invitation right after that. I've always heard there hasn't been a bad song written about God's grace. And that was proof to that right there. Thank you, girls. That was wonderful. You really spoke to my heart. I love to hear children sing. I love to hear teenagers sing from their heart. We've worked with teenagers for 27 years. I know you thought I was about 19 years old, didn't you? I won't tell you how old I am. My husband and I did just celebrate our 30th wedding anniversary a couple weeks ago when we got to renew our vows, and Brother Scott helped us renew our vows in our Sunday school class. We have a class with adults, and they're not as fun as teenagers are, but we had a good time anyway. I love the subject of marriage. I'm always looking for books to read on marriage. I feel like it's a subject that we're just never going to exhaust. If there was, you know, one book, of course the Bible, I mean, can't do any better than that, but you go to a bookstore, a Christian bookstore, and there's just tons of books. So apparently they haven't found quite the answer yet because they keep writing more and more books, but I'll keep reading them. I have a few little facts that I wanted to give you about marriage. What a fun theme on marriage. Did you know that wearing a wedding ring on the fourth finger of the left hand dates back to ancient Egypt, where it was believed that the vein of love ran from this finger directly to the heart? Now you know. The longest engagement on record, if I pronounce these names right, was Octavio Gullin and Adriana Martinez after dating for 67 years. They finally got married when they were both 82 years old. He must be a person that cannot make a fast decision. There are people like that. The oldest bridegroom was Harry Stevens, who at the age of 103 married Thelma Lucas, a young 84. They were wed in Beloit, Wisconsin in 1984. And the oldest bride was 102-year-old Minnie Monroe, who married 83-year-old gentleman named Dudley Reed in Point Claire, New South Wales, Australia. So she was 102 and he was 83. That's a little bit of difference. The youngest couple ever to marry was an 11-month-old boy and a 3-month-old girl who were married in Bangladesh in 1986. The marriage was arranged in order to settle a 20-year feud over a disputed piece of farmland. There's two couples who share the record for the longest marriage in history. Sir Ninman and Lady Nariman were married from 1853 until 1940. That's 87 years. Anybody in here married longer than 87 years? Where? Who said
74?
Wow, that's amazing. There's another one. Lazarus Rowe and Molly Weber were married in Greenland, New Hampshire in 1743 and remained married until 1829 when she died after having been married for 86 years. Now, the largest mass wedding was held in the Olympic Stadium in Seoul, South Korea, where 35,000 people were married in a ceremony officiated by Sungmun Moon. Then, this one really kind of got to me. It said, Richard and Carol Roble are the most remarried couple. They wed each other 56 times, beginning in 1969. 56 times? I guess once wasn't enough, I don't know. And the most expensive wedding on record was a 7-day celebration of the marriage of Mohammed, son of Sheikh Rashid bin Saeed Al Maktoum. That's a mouthful. To Princess Salama. The wedding took place in Dubai and the bill came to $44 million. It's a little expensive. And then the most fantastic gift of love, which you've probably all heard of this one, was the Taj Mahal in India. And it was built as a memorial to his wife who died in childbirth. The work on the Taj Mahal began in 1634 and continued for almost 22 years and required the labor of 20,000 workers from all over India and Central Asia. That was just some little fun facts about marriage. It was funny, 30 years ago when my husband and I got married, and I think I was thinking more about the wedding day. I mean, I was thinking about our life together, but as a bride, you think of how the wedding's gonna look, how am I gonna look, the bridesmaids, the flowers, oh, I hope everything looks good, I hope the cake's nice. And that was wonderful, and I enjoyed my day, which lasted just a few hours, and that was it. Then the work began. And I think so many times we enter into marriage thinking that it's all just, oh, this fun day of celebrating, but there is a lot of work into it. And if most of us would go into it in what Mrs. Scott was mentioning this morning when she talked about being a help. My mom became a widow just the end of July. This month, the 27th of this month, my mom and dad would have celebrated their 64th wedding anniversary. So I look at her and I see how hard it's been since my dad has passed away. But she still is involved, and I've learned so much from her over the years, but even more so in these past couple weeks. There was one bit of advice that I was given as a new bride. I don't think I was married over a month, and we had a lady spectacular. We got married in August, and then we had a lady spectacular at our church in October. And we had Mrs. Jonna Rice. How many of you know who that is, Mrs. Jonna Rice? She spoke after her husband had passed away, and she was telling about her marriage, and she's giving some thoughts. And she said, a young bride came up to her and said, what can I do? My husband won't pick up after himself. He doesn't do this, he doesn't do that. And she looked at her and she said, you know what? I would give anything to be able to pick up my husband's socks again. And I cannot tell you what else was said that whole spectacular, which is probably terrible on my part, but that one thought has stuck with me for the years. And there are so many things that we nitpick in little battles, and they're not worth it. And there may be some lady here who may be a widow, and you think that is so true. I would love to be able to do something again for my husband. So if you leave here today and thinking that I want to be a help, and thank you, Mrs. Scott, I needed that myself. I want to mention today, which I guess I'm going to need to have a word of prayer to get started in this, so let's bow our heads. Thank you, Lord, for the ladies here and for all the time that was put into preparation of this conference. And Lord, please speak through me. Please help me to be able to be a help to someone here today. I love you, Lord, and thank you for all you've done for us. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to talk to you and challenge you on having a happy home. A happy home. Nothing like it in the world. How many of you just even like that word home? I love that word home. It's a sweet word. And I hope home is a sweet word to you. And if not, maybe something said today may get a little something going in your mind to challenge you to try to have a happy home. Years ago, my husband and I went to Disney World, and I'm going to just talk just a couple minutes on Disney World. I'm not promoting Disney World, so those of you who are thinking I am, I'm not, but there was just a few observations that I made a couple times I had been there. And one of it, when you walked in, it was a very friendly place. They call it the Magic Kingdom. It's magical, they say. And you walk in, and people are just extremely friendly. It's extremely clean and attractive. And in my mind, I'm thinking, you know, if a worldly place like this can make things look attractive, if they can make this place fun, why can't my home be the same way? Let me read you just a couple things I pulled off the internet. It says, do you know what the Disney product is? What do they sell? And the answer is we create happiness. We create happiness. That's for kids of all ages, children and adults alike. I've been in there when the adults walk around with Mickey Mouse ears just like a little kid does, and they just enjoy being there. They love to have a happy time. What are the three keys to Disney's quality? It said it's courtesy, efficiency, and show. They make sure that the cast members, which I believe that's the people that work there, I think that's what they call them, that they're courteous and efficient, and that it helps create a positive guest experience whenever a guest interacts with an employee. Are there any VIPs at Disneyland? The answer is yes, everybody. Everybody is a VIP. Too many places of employment make a customer feel like they're an inconvenience. Have you ever been to a grocery store when you're going to pay and they hardly even recognize you? You probably don't do that in the South. You all are so sweet. I wish I could talk Southern. I was telling some ladies a while back, there's just something about a Southern lady. I don't know. I think I really should be from the South. I love sweet tea and I love the hot weather. But up north where we're at, our accent is not. Do you think it's kind of weird and boring? Well, you're not going to say because I'm up here, right? But you all, you could just say anything, and it just comes, it just oozes sweetness. A friend of mine is from Texas, and she'll say, you know, something, and I'll say, you know, you can criticize somebody and just add, bless her heart, at the end of it, and it's all okay. I wish we could do that up north. I'm going to start talking like that. Bless her heart, she's an idiot. But I love being around you all. You all, see? I love being around you all. I hope I pick up a few. Y'all? Y'all. Okay. Not you all. I think I'm talking Southern. You all. But I, just a few little facts here on Disney, which I said I'm not promoting, but I did like the fact that they want to have things done first class, it's a friendly place, and it's a clean, appealing place to be. If you would, take your Bibles and turn to Colossians chapter 3. I'm going to come back to that. Do I... 11 o'clock, is that when I'm supposed to stop, I think. I'd like you to ask yourself, in disregards, put a circle around you. Don't poke the neighbor next to you, or your daughter or daughter-in-law, whoever's sitting next to you, but just put a little circle around yourself, and I want to ask you some questions. Is your home, or do you make your home a friendly place? Sometimes I feel like we're more friendly and courteous to strangers than those that are the closest to us, and that's a shame. We should be friendly to everybody, but especially those that we share a home with. You know, it's wonderful to train our children, you know, when daddy comes home, to run to the door, daddy's home, daddy's home. But do we do the same thing too? I love it when my husband comes home, and most, probably 98% of the time, if he comes home and I hear him, I will try to greet him at the door with a hug and a kiss. Smooching's pretty good, and it just gets better and better all the time. Is your home in a clean, attractive place? I'm not saying it's the Taj Mahal, but is it clean? We all can afford soap, and we all can afford a bucket and some rags, and we can make sure that our home is clean and attractive. You may think, well, we don't have the money to fix this up. You can start with just a little project here or there. It may take time, but in a home, in any kind of relationship, anything that is worthwhile having, there's always going to be upkeep. That's why I'm really excited you all are here today, because it shows, you know, in my life, I want to upkeep some things or recharge some things. We all have conferences. We have couples retreats. Those are wonderful because it recharges your marriage. Ladies' conferences, it recharges us and keeps us going. Our church services, that's enough to fire us up and keep us going for another week. But these things are wonderful to have. And just remember, if there's something that's worth having, it's worth keeping up on it. A home, a car, any kind of relationship. I have a little story that I want to share with you. Someone sent this to me, oh, it's been a little over a year ago. And I read this story and I thought, wow, it just really touched me. Have any of you ever heard the story of the carrot, the egg, and the coffee bean? Has anybody heard that story? I got one for a couple people in here. I want to share this with you. A young woman went to her mother and told her about her life and how things were so hard for her. She did not know how she was going to make it and wanted to give up. She was tired of fighting and struggling. It seemed as soon as one problem was solved, a new one arose. Her mother took her to the kitchen. She filled three pots with water and placed each on a high fire. Soon the pots came to a boil. In the first pot, she placed carrots. In the second, she placed eggs. And in the last, she placed ground coffee beans. She let them sit and boil without saying a word. In about 20 minutes, she turned off the burners. She fished the carrots out and placed them in a bowl. She pulled the eggs out and placed them in a bowl. Then she ladled the coffee out and placed it in a bowl. Turning to her daughter, she asked, "Tell me what you see." "Carrots, eggs, and coffee," she replied. Her mother brought her closer and asked her to feel the carrots. She did and noted that they were soft. The mother then asked the daughter to take an egg and break it. After pulling off the shell, she observed the hard-boiled egg. Finally, the mother asked the daughter to sip the coffee. The daughter smiled as she tasted its rich aroma. The daughter then asked, "What does it mean, Mom?" Her mother explained that each of these objects had faced the same adversity, boiling water. Each reacted differently. The carrot went in strong, hard, and unrelenting. However, after being subject to the boiling water, it softened and became weak. The egg had been fragile. Its thin outer shell had protected its liquid interior, but after sitting through the boiling water, its inside became hardened. The ground coffee beans were unique, however. They were in the boiling water. After they had been in the boiling water, they had changed the water. "Which are you?" she asked her daughter. "When adversity knocks on your door, how do you respond? Are you a carrot, an egg, or a coffee bean?" "Think of this. I am the carrot that seems strong, but with pain and adversity do I wilt and become soft and lose my strength? Am I the egg that starts with a malleable heart but changes with the heat? Did I have a fluid spirit, but after a death, a breakup, a financial hardship, or some other trial, had become hardened and stiff? Does my shell look the same, but on the inside am I bitter and tough, with a stiff spirit and hardened heart? Or am I like the coffee bean? The bean actually changes the water. The very circumstance that brings the pain, when the water gets hot, it releases the fragrance and flavor. If you're like the bean, when things are at their worst, you get better and change the situation around you. When the hour is the darkest and trials are their greatest, Do you elevate yourself to another level? How do you handle adversity? Are you a carrot, an egg, or a coffee bean? May you have enough happiness to make you sweet, enough trials to make you strong, enough sorrow to keep you human, and enough hope to make you happy. The happiest of people don't necessarily have the best of everything. They just make the most of everything that comes along their way. The brightest future will always be based on a forgotten past. You can't go forward in life until you let go of your past failures and heartaches. When you were born, you were crying and everyone around you was smiling. Live your life so that at the end, you're the one who is smiling and everyone around you is crying. I love that little story because I think in my own life of how many times adversity has come. And no one is going to bypass adversity. Everybody is going to face adversity at some point in some time. Sometimes it may seem like people have it all the time, but we're all subject to it. But how are we going to react to it? I love the talk of being a help. That's one of the first things in helping to have a happy home with your husband and showing your children what a home can be like. A happy home. You're there to help. When trials come to you and your husband and your family, how are you going to react to those things? Are you going to step in and, you know, you look kind of strong, but then you fall apart? A lot of times women, we can be like that. We lean upon our strong one to help us through adversity. Or are you somebody who, like an egg, you know, your inside is flowing, it's sweet, your spirit's sweet, and you can make wise decisions, but when something tragedy happens, we stiffen up and we become hard, and then we're of no use. Or are we like that coffee bean, where when that heat that has brought us to that point, all of a sudden, it just kind of permeates around us. Do you know people like that? You know, there's people that can bring out the best in you. Do you know people like that? You're around somebody and you just feel much better when you're around them. Or maybe you're going through a tough time and you are trying to tell somebody, but they always have it tougher than you do, so why bother telling them your problems, because theirs are always worse than yours. But how do we react to those things? Look in Colossians chapter 3, if you would. Forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against you, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts. Let the peace of God rule in your hearts. Having the peace of God in your heart is probably one of the most important things that you can have within your family in having a happy home. How many of you have been married over 10 years? 20 years? 30 years, 40 years, 50 years, 60? One lady back there, 60? You've been married 60 years? That's awesome. Now you can imagine, let's give her a hand, that's awesome. Now you can imagine within those 58 years, there probably hasn't been one time where they have disagreed. Everything has always been wonderful. No, all of us, I think we all know better than that. All of us have been there. But why are we letting those little things, like Mrs. John R. Rice had said years ago, I would love to be able to pick up my husband's socks again. If we would go into our marriage and think, I do want to be a help. Okay, my husband was trying to throw his socks in the dirty clothes. One barely made it, and the other one's on the floor. Are we going to get all bent out of shape over two pairs of socks? I want to challenge you ladies to be like a coffee bean, one where the fragrance of your life in Christ permeates your home. You know, your children see that as well, and they in turn want to have a happy home. I have some coffee beans I want to pass out. I don't know if Miss Wendy needs some help with some ladies. You can go ahead and pass those out, and I'll finish up here. I'm sure I have enough here. If you just want to take one and just kind of pass them down, and we'll kind of collect them at the end. I hope you'll put this in some spot where once in a while you can look at it. Don't they smell good? Have you smelled them? They were sitting over here when I pulled them out, and I thought, ooh, it's Dunkin' Donut coffee beans. My husband and I are Dunkin' Donut fans of the coffee. Do you have Dunkin' Donuts out here?
Yeah.
Okay.
Krispy Kreme.
I'm not talking about the donuts. I'm talking about the coffee. She needs some. Did everybody get one? Okay. All right, just a couple more in the back there. All right, did anybody not get one yet? All right. I know this just seemed like a very simple little story, but it's a story that I really, really want to challenge you, and I hope you put that in a spot, maybe even along with this Bible verse. I put Bible verses on my mirror in my bathroom often on 3x5 cards that in the morning when I'm getting ready that I can look those things over, maybe even type up Colossians 3, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against you, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, above all these things, put on charity, put on love, which is the bond of perfectness, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts. You can have peace at home. You can. You may think you have no idea what kind of home I have, but you can. You can bring peace in your home, and it has to be through Christ. And let his love come through you. There doesn't have to be yelling and screaming and fighting. Love can dwell in your home. Your home can be a happy, relaxing place where people want to attend, where people want to come home to. You know, many times we'll have Bible studies in our home, and it's good for people to come to our home and see what a Christian home should be. And it should be like that. It shouldn't be all show. It should be true. And our children need to see that as well. I love conferences because a lot of times I'll get things squared away, something that maybe slacked off just a little bit. As a teenager, I loved going to camps. I just always made decisions. I wanted to serve the Lord. I wanted to do what he wanted me to do. But it was funny, after those decisions, I'd walk an aisle and make a decision. Afterwards, when I would go home, is when it seemed like the devil would fight me all the more. And just this today, while you are here, I know that there's things that Mrs. Scott has said or will say that has really, really touched you, moved you, and you think, boy, I need to do that. Or I think I can change that with the Lord's help. But you know what? You're going to go home, and you may have a sink full of dishes. And you think, oh, when I left, they were clean. Nothing was in the sink. Oh, Lord, you're trying me. But you know what? It's not worth pitching a fit about. Make your home a happy place. And I challenge you when you leave here today. You're all, you know, some of you are all pumped and excited. Just some of the things you heard from Mrs. Scott a little while ago. Yeah, I can do that. I can be a help. I can be like a nurse. I can be there to help people. But then, you know, are we really? When we get home, things happen. And the devil knows, and he's going to work his way and try to change your mind. Well, you didn't really mean that. You know how you really are. No. Just push him back. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Get those Bible verses out. How many of you have Bible verses on your walls at home? Awesome thing to do. I have one right above my door. In all thy ways, acknowledge him. When I walk out the door, that's the thing I see in the morning, in the afternoon, whenever I leave. In all thy ways, acknowledge him. I need to acknowledge him in everything I do. In our homes, I need to acknowledge him. When I go out, acknowledge him. I love you, ladies. I know some of you have had struggles. We all do. But I challenge you to be that peacemaker in your home, to be the happy home, to be the home where the people in neighborhoods say, something's different about them. I know they're Christians, but something is different about that home. And I like it. Maybe you have children's Bible studies or something in your home of the neighborhood. Let them see what a Christian home can be. I challenge you, ladies, give it all you got. What is it? Don't sweat this. What is it? Don't sweat small stuff or don't. I know it's don't sweat the small stuff, but there's a saying. No, it's at the tip of my tongue. Don't make a mountain out of a molehill. There's a ton of things I could say. But, you know, you're not going to get out of this world alive anyway. You know, don't sweat the small stuff. Work on ourselves and build up and edify the Lord with our lives. I love you, ladies, and thank you for allowing me to come and speak today. And I am really looking forward to talking to the girls a little bit later on. I love teenagers. I really do. And I know some people maybe feel like they have a little bit of a hard time relating to teenagers. But they have a heart just like the rest of us. And they want love just like the rest of us. They're just a little bit smaller than us. I love you, ladies, and thank you so much for your time.